Chapter 4, Walking in the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. To be able to live effectively with people, you must know how to control your own life. As Christians, the Word of God commands us to walk in the Spirit instead of the flesh. One will walk in either of the two, the Spirit or the flesh, for there is no middle path. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21 reveals that many of the works of the flesh are works that produce poor relations with others. Therefore, one of the ways to live effectively with people is by knowing what it means to walk in the Spirit, and doing so. The Word of God says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Some are confused about what it means to walk in the Spirit, but there is no need to be confused. Since you are a child of God, you are already in the Spirit. All you need now is to conduct your life according to the principles of the Spirit. The Word of God makes known to us what those principles are. To walk in the Spirit is simply a personal, intelligent decision and not a super spiritual act for a select few. It is basically making the intelligent choice to allow the Word of God to govern your thoughts, words, and actions. You walk in the Spirit to the degree that you choose to align your thoughts, words, and actions with the Word of God. It is a choice you make, an intelligent choice, based on your knowledge of the Scripture. On the other hand, to walk in the flesh is to walk in ignorance of the Word of God, or to walk in rebellion to the Word of God that you know. It is to think wrongly, to accommodate and carry out thoughts that contradict and deny the counsel of God's Word. It is to walk according to one's own conceited imagination. It is important to understand that when the Bible talks about the flesh, it fundamentally talks about a way of thinking. The flesh is basically a way of thinking that is contrary to God's Word. The flesh is not the physical desires. They are legitimate. It is not some kind of a mystical influence which unwittingly captures and controls a person's action. The flesh is simply a way of thinking. It is a way of thinking that is opposing to God's Word. Therefore, because it is a way of thinking, it is something that every child of God can be victorious over. The believers in Christ have the ability to think and act on a higher level than the world. The child of God has been given the mind of Christ and His Spirit. The Bible says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. The flesh and its works. For clarity of understanding, one should bear in mind that there is a difference between the flesh and the works of the flesh. The flesh is the wrong thinking and mindset. The works of the flesh is the consequence of the wrong thinking and mindset. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, we have a basic list of the works of the flesh, which are the fruits of wrong thinking. The Word of God says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. If you are going to have a healthy lifestyle and relate effectively with others, you must understand the reality and dynamics of the flesh. It is critical for you to understand that your prevailing thoughts will eventually bear fruit. The Bible says, "Hear, O earth, Behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people, the fruits of their thoughts. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 19. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. The root problem with Noah's generation was their thought life. Everything sprang from their deep inner thoughts. The Word of God says, Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. The fruits of men's thoughts will more often than not be brought upon them. As long as men's thoughts and pattern of thinking are contrary to the Word of God, their lifestyle will also be the same. Consequently, their experiences will be negative and calamitous. This is why God pleads through the prophet Isaiah and the apostle Paul. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Our thoughts will always bear the corresponding fruits in our actions and experiences. Therefore, thoughts are crucial. Many an adulterous act, though it may have taken place in the night, did not come about overnight. It was first conceived in the womb of the mind, nurtured, and allowed to grow there until its manifestation became inevitable. The Bible says, Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. You will eventually manifest the things you continuously feed your mind with. The Bible says, For those who are living in the way of the flesh give their minds to the things of the flesh, but those who go in the way of the Spirit to the things of the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. The Bible in basic English. The adulteration of many things and relationships began in an adulterated mind. The Apostle Paul understood how the flesh works. Therefore, he said to the saints at Philippi and to all believers, Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. The way of fools. A wise person is a person who allows the Word of God to be the benchmark for his or her thoughts and conduct. Such a person gives his or her mind over to the principles of the Scripture and is considered to be spiritually minded. Romans chapter 8, verse 6, and thus walking in the Spirit. On the other hand, the Bible describes those who walk in the flesh as fools. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 12. The flesh is not limited to carnal lust. One should not think of the flesh only as carnal lust, as many usually do. The truth is, it is any thought that contradicts the counsel of God's word. For example, if a believer fell into sin and confessed and asked God for forgiveness, yet goes on entertaining and agreeing with the thoughts of unworthiness, not forgiving himself or herself, that person is walking in the flesh. For the Bible clearly states, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Again, if a child of God feels mistreated by a fellow Christian brother or sister and consequently holds on to an unforgiving spirit, resentment, coldness, and avoidance, that offended child of God is walking in the flesh. For again, the Bible clearly says to forgive one another. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 through 22. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Luke chapter 17, verses 3 through 4. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. The Apostle James said, But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. James chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. The truth is that offense, bitterness, and resentment among God's people are the works of the flesh. For various reasons, some believe that they have a right to resent and be cold with certain of their fellow brethren in Christ. Yet they can never find a single Bible reference to authorize such an attitude. One needs to understand that offense does or legitimize indifference and resentment. On the contrary, the Word of God exhorts us to consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, Love your enemies. Your enemy is anyone who opposes you. Feed your mind with positive words. You are commanded to love your neighbor as yourself. The Word of God says, You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. James chapter 2, verse 8. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. It stands to reason that since you are commanded to love our neighbors as ourselves, if you entertain negative thoughts about yourself and pass negative judgments on yourself, you would do the same to others. The fact that we are commanded to love our neighbors as ourselves indicates that we are expected to have healthy and positive concepts about ourselves, based on the Word of God. Some say, I feel stupid, or I feel defeated. However, the truth is you cannot feel stupidity, neither can one feel defeat, because stupidity and defeat are not emotions. They are judgments that some pass on themselves because of the wrong thoughts they entertain and feed on. This is why it is very important to feed your mind with the Word of God. Practice thinking about the good and positive things that God has declared in His Word concerning you. Here are a few of them. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Psalm chapter 139, verse 14. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness I have drawn you. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. John chapter 15, verse 9. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God." 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Your most important life. It is said that we all live basically three lives. Number one, our public and visible life that everyone sees. Number two, our private life only known by close family and friends. Number three, our hidden and unseen life of deep inner thoughts. The hidden and unseen life of deep inner thoughts is the most important life you live, because it is from there everything springs forth. Your decisions and ultimately your destiny will be determined by the deep inner thoughts that you embrace today. We all are the products of the thoughts we consistently think. The Bible says, "As a man thinks, so is he." Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. It is of uttermost importance to understand this truth. It is aptly said, "Sow a thought, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a practice. Sow a practice, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny." It all begins with the thoughts one embraces. No one can rise above the thoughts he or she embraces. Your thought life is your most important life. It is the fountain of your future. The Bible explicitly says, "Above all else, guard your heart, your mind, for it is the wellspring of life." Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, the New International Version. The life you are living now has a lot to do with the thoughts you have allowed to take root in your mind in time past, whether good or bad. If you think inferior, you will act inferior. If you think defeat, you will act defeat. If you allow fear to govern your thoughts, you will act in fear, attempt nothing great, and make wrong decisions. If you accommodate in your thinking thoughts of malice, resentment, ill will, and offense, then those things would define your character, your life, and ultimately your destiny. A good way to guard your thoughts is by setting up a scriptural security checkpoint in your mind. Before you accept any thought, it should pass a simple test. It should have an authorized identification name and a number, or a scripture reference. If it cannot pass the test of God's word, you should reject it immediately. Tell the devil no. Shake it off as Paul shook off the viper in the fire, and let the devil take it back. Do like Jesus. Respond by saying, "It is written." Casting down imaginations. The word of God tells us, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 5. The King James Version. There are some wrong ways of thinking that many have become accustomed to and set in. They are called strongholds. The problem that some Christians have is not so much a demon that needs to be cast out, but mindset that needs to be cast down. Whether or not a Christian can be demon-possessed is a controversial issue the author is not going to address here. However, the point that needs to be made is, if a Christian could be possessed and the demon were cast out, but the mindset was not changed, it would not make much of a difference. The demon would walk right back in. As a matter of fact, the demon will return with reinforcement. The Bible says, "When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none." Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 through 45. The point is that the most important thing we need to do when we come into this wonderful, born-again experience in Christ is to change our minds. There is no real change without a change of mind. This is the reason why the Bible commands men to repent. To repent simply means to change your mind, to change your way of thinking. For any significant change to take place in a person's life, they must first change their way of thinking. Though you cannot stop a bird from flying over your head any more than you can stop a thought from entering your mind, yet one can stop the bird from making a nest and reproducing on one's head. Even so, you don't have to accommodate and carry out thoughts that enter your mind, thoughts that contradict the Word of God. You ought to take responsibility for your thought life. Think about what you think about. Think or sink. Draw close to God through fervent prayer and meditation in His Word, and your thoughts will be established in God. By all means, put off the swaddling clothes of wrong thinking. As the Apostle Paul said, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. There are some ways of thinking that one must grow out of. Paul said, "When I was a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish thinking." The ultimate consequence of walking in the flesh. The Bible makes it very apparent that the ultimate consequence for walking in the flesh is to eternally forfeit the kingdom of God. The Bible says, "For the mind of the flesh is death." Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Bible in Basic English. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 21. Control your mind by walking in the Spirit, and you will live effectively with people and control your destiny.